don't ever enter my body.
Hello?
Well, who the fuck are you hiding from? My God, do you have a stalker on, like, high speed of business or what? What's going on with you on the phone?
I just was in the kitchen making cucumber salad, and then the phone was ringing, and I thought you were going to be done in a long time, and then I was like, shit, that's by Richard. Or Madge, are you recording?
Yeah, I'm fucking recording.
Okay, then, oh shit, that's probably Madge.
Yeah, that's right. You mean you thought the club Swinging Richards, that strip club you were talking about?
Yeah, Swinging Richards.
Is that what you were talking about?
Mm-hmm, that's what I was talking about.
So I don't suppose you have an actual microphone, just a cell phone we're using this time? Is that how it's
going to work? Well, I do have a microphone thingy, but I only know how to pair it through the Skype.
Oh, you can't use Skype right now? Or are you saying you don't know how to do it with Skype? You say you don't know?
No, I am.
You
do? I'm signed onto Skype right now. Hold on.
You don't have to. I mean, I know you got to eat and everything because I can hear you eating.
I know. There's so much to do.
Cucumber
salad.
Hold on,
I'm looking for my microphone.
I got to talk about this fucking shit, Rachel. Oh, happy VD.
I know, it's so funny.
Happy
Valentine's
Day. Happy to you. Happy,
no, I was thinking about you.
To you.
I was thinking about you. Hold on.
All right, I really enjoy the hand noise on your cellular phone as well.
Can't hear you. Hold on.
I was mumbling.
Is that better?
What?
Hello?
Wait a second. What do you mean, is it better?
I just put on the microphone. Is it better?
Yeah, that's better.
Mm-hmm.
Good, that's what I mean.
Okay, so we're just going to stay low-tech then?
Whatever, or we could try my other one on Skype. Either way is fine, but if this doesn't sound like shit, it's fine with me.
Well, you were the one that was sounding like... No, you know what? As long as there's no, like, background noise, it's okay. So far...
Like me eating right now?
No, like last time when there was this high-pitched whine the whole time... And
oh my God, it sounded so bad. I wanted to punch my own self in the vagina and just torture myself.
It pissed
me off so much, it made me a misogynist.
Well, then maybe you should try and have technically right, because this is going to piss you off. You're talking on a goddamn iPhone and you're a fucking recording artist, poet person. You fucking work
no,
with your
I
voice.
No, I was using a mic in my Skype. But
yeah.
It wasn't working, but I have another mic we could try in the Skype. But if this sounds okay, then let's not waste any time.
Because I'd rather just be Jewish about it. But the thing is, because,
me too.
Please
be Jewish about it.
It's 1 a.m. here. I finished the show. I still have to do like a final preliminary business in the morning, but that's fine. You know, like a check.
Mm-hmm.
Check one, two, check. That kind of thing.
Yeah, you sound like very urban.
Yeah. When I called you, did you hear my voicemail message from me on Sunday? Did you hear that? Fucking beat.
Yeah.
What's
I'm so sorry I didn't call you back.
Oh, I don't care. But so funny, though, is that I was walking home from... I went to a museum with a friend. We went to some... It was like an Arabic exhibit or whatever. It doesn't matter. So I walked home.
Was it like science exhibit or art?
Art. So,
okay, sorry, go on.
So it was actually very interesting because it had a lot of stuff about the Sufis, you know, Sufi mysticism.
I love Sufism.
Yeah, it was cool. So so we're walking back and not we, I'm walking back because that's how I get my exercise. So it's like an hour and a half walk there and back. And it was on the other side. It was on Rive Gauche. So I walked over Ile de Cité, which is where Notre Dame is. And I've walked on that island, but it just happened to be that it was Sunday night and I'm walking right in front of Notre Dame. I've never been inside there. I've walked near it. You know, it's one of those tourist places, like the second most visited place in Paris next to the Sacré-Cœur. I thought, oh, yeah. And I saw a bunch of people walking in, and I'm like, the usual thought when I see that is, oh, I should go there sometime. Let me see how much it costs. So I look, and it's like, there's no cost because it's mass. So all you have to do is go to the mass. So I went in, And I went, and I didn't go to the tourist area. The tourist area would have been free too, but you know, you can just walk through it. So I went in, actually went in the tourist entrance, but then I went into the mass itself, and I sat down. I thought, oh, this is so weird. I've been to Catholic ceremonies maybe a couple times in my life for weddings and stuff, but I just thought, you know, what a nice way to see one of this most famous cathedrals, you know, just to go watch this mass that's going on. You know, I was at the...
Yeah, like in action, what it's actually for. That's
like, cool. I remember being at a mass at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem when they were doing a mass. That was amazing. You know, because they used the frankincense, and I love the ritual. I like...
Did you go to any Jewish services while you were there, or just Catholic?
Yeah, in Notre Dame, sure. I went to the...
in Israel.
Yeah, I went to the... Sure.
That's good.
Actually, I don't fucking remember, but I don't want you to yell at me. But
I do remember the Holy Sepulchre.
Well, I got my fucking bar mitzvah shit on. I mean, shit. I did my
tzitzis. I know, I didn't.
I did my... No, I mean, terrible. In Israel at the Wailing Wall, I did my tzitzis or whatever the fuck it's called with the tefillin.
Tefillin?
Yeah. I'm fucking...
You did?
Yes, I fucking did.
Mazel tov.
Yeah. But anyway...
Well, anyway, that's really cool. You went to a service, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, and I really wanted, I'm just like, I'm going to be open-minded because actually there's a meditation meeting that I normally go to. And when I was on my way back from this, I was trying to figure out if I had time to go to this meditation. I realized I didn't have time to go to the meditation meeting. So I said, well, how wonderful. I could just go to this Notre Dame and meditate or whatever, you know. But Rachel, it was such a fun experience because... It was ruined. You know why it was ruined? I mean, not because there were hundreds of visitors going through, if not thousands. That was fine. They were quiet. Right. Everybody was respectful. The frankincense was there. What really made me sit down and stop was the singing was so beautiful. It was like just like an opera singer. And it was so far away, but the famous altar from the, you know, from the art book. And it was just so cool, you know, and the it's so large that the other end looks like it's in another universe. It's so far away and with the smoke. It's cool. Well, because what they do is, Rachel, is they fucking go after you with envelopes because they want fucking money from you. Like, so I'm sitting down there just trying to chill out. And like this fucking guy comes and he's like totally like gets in my mental space. Some like, you know, one of these people that he holds stuff. Because he saw that I wasn't holding a program and a donor envelope. So he like reaches out to give me one. And it's like there's the program, which has like three prayers. And then there's this gigantic envelope, which obviously, and in enough plenty of languages, tells you, you know, we want you to give money. And my first thought was, Jesus Christ, haven't you fucking paid for this thing yet? You know, like, and it just, I was trying, it's like all the stuff I was trying to ignore. I really was trying to ignore all that stuff because, you know, we all know about all the shit about the Catholic Church. If it's the pedophilia, the murders, the what the fuck was that when they killed all those people, you know? I mean, just the way that they just...
The Spanish Inquisition, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, that little thing, you know, protecting the Nazis and all this. And then, you know, not to mention making Pope celibate so that they can't, so they can't lose any money from the church and all. And then they're just going to fucking ruin the one opportunity you have to just like actually have the payoff. You know, this little bit of, you know, you just want to get this, the little bit of payoff you get as being a member of the church. This little payoff is that you get to have this little miniature spiritual experience if you want it in this church. But no, some fucking fat queen has to come up and hand me a fucking envelope. You know?
I hear you.
What the fuck's wrong with these people? Seriously, what the fuck is wrong with them? Why don't they just blow up all their churches themselves? Because that's what they're doing. You know, they're fucking raping kids. And every time I write about it on Facebook, nobody will comment on it. You know, I'm like, when they were this Mitt Romney bullshit and everybody's arguing about the, you know, how can you, wait, hold on. I lost my headphone thing. Wait. But, you know, the Catholics are all up in arms like, oh, how dare you tell us how to practice our religion? And I'm like on Facebook, I'm like, well, yeah, how dare you tell us to practice our religion? We practice our religion by raping children. You know? Why didn't anybody?
Yeah, agreed.
Why doesn't anybody say that?
No, I agree.
You know? Freedom of religion.
I agree.
Freedom of religion, my ass. The Catholic Church lost their freedom of religion when they started diddling little boys. And not to mention all the murder. I mean, what the fuck?
No, I agree. I think plenty of religions, like, but even like the KKK, they have the right to organize and,
well, of course,
and
they do.
Meet and, yeah. You know, so.
Well, I don't, I'm just venting. I mean, it's fine. I'm not saying they should be banned or illegal or anything. I just think.
No, it's fucked up. I'm agreeing with you. Yeah, I'm saying.
Because I just went in there and I just wanted my little bit of spiritual materialism. I just wanted to be able to have a non-secular, a secular little open-minded experience because I was in the mood to do that, you know? And I felt like.
It was tacky. It totally harsh or mellow.
Yeah. And then, like, you know what else? They fucking have.
What?
I think if I say this, people think I'm lying. But within, when you're sitting in the pews, they're not really pews; they're just chairs. To the left, there's fucking souvenir stands.
I believe you.
They have machines where you put a coin in, and you pay another €2, and it stamps your coin with a picture of the goddamn Notre Dame. Seriously?
No, I believe that completely.
And you wonder why people are rebelling against religion. And I mean, religions, if they want to stay in business in the age of science, they have to be fucking realistic, you know, and be sincere. I think they're fucking, it's amazing to me because there is validity to religion. There really is. There is validity to ritual and certainly to mysticism and to finding the bridge to the other side that nobody understands and so that we can't understand. But this, like what I saw, is doing nothing of that. They're not even trying to. All they're trying to do is just sell shit. And it's disgusting.
I agree. I think you're making a very good point about hypocrisy, and that's what turns people off usually to religion.
Yeah. I mean, it really amazes me. I mean, the church is doing nothing to keep itself from going extinct. They must just be so completely far gone. You know?
Because that's what I was going to say, too. They really are out of the loop. They don't even realize how much of a turnoff it is when they do that because they're completely out of touch.
Like, if I was in charge of that church, I don't know how the fucking hierarchy works. I would say, first of all, when people are in there having a mass, give them a spiritual experience. Do not ask them for money. Do not stick fucking vending machines within eye shot. Keep at least if you're gonna have tourists go through the building, fine. Put a curtain there, okay? Give them something, you know? Let them, if you know.
Absolutely. If I ran Notre Dame, I would make it like a Virgin Air flight.
I've never been on Virgin Air. That's a good,
it's like a laid back rave.
What?
Like pink lighting and like down tempo house music and like really sassy flight attendants in their own clothes, no uniform.
Really? They do not play house music on an airplane.
Yes. Yes, they do. Down tempo.
Really? Swear to God.
Like electronica, not house, like down tempo.
And they wear street clothes or what? Jeans?
Not street clothes. They totally dress up. They just aren't all in matching polyester uniforms. They're just cute.
Huh.
The guys look really cute. Like, sometimes they'll have on, like, a Kangol hat and just, like, a cute, like, collared shirt. And
do you know what
American... girls will have a sassy little dress.
Do you ever take American Airlines?
Yeah. Fuck American.
How would you describe their flight attendants?
Definitely more, you know, kind of outdated polyester.
They're like 80.
Flower,
Rachel, pie. Usually I feel like I have to help them. Seriously.
Well, like, I know.
Like, they're just like, they keep firing people and they're just like, not to be ageist, but you know, I'm old. I'm like practically retirement age next year. But like,
that's not true.
And broke. But, you know, like, I feel like often I have to help them put their fucking roller suitcases. So it's fucking pathetic. Anyway, I feel like we're being too negative. Well, me, it is Valentine's Day.
Oh, all I'm saying is, if I ran Notre Dame, I would make it like a Virgin Air flight.
Okay, but why would they make a Jew run Notre Dame?
They wouldn't. I'm just saying if they did.
Kind of gives you some insight, though. I mean, like, I think it gives, not that I give a damn about religion, because I really don't, but, like, I think because it was a Catholic church, I'm able to get insights into that I wouldn't get if I went to a Jewish ceremony, because I'm so conditioned by other things. I don't think I can see it the right perspective.
Of course, you can like see it fresh. You can be detached.
I think religions need an overhaul and just head straight to, I think, really to mysticism. I mean, what people want, people are not stupid enough. Nobody really believes in this literal, well, nobody, some people do, but I think the mainstream doesn't believe in a literal God, a conscious being. I think most people believe in the whole universe concept, the unified being, as opposed to the separate God. You know what I'm talking about? You know,
I don't know. I think most people you talk to do, but I don't know if all of the world feels that way. I mean, honestly, who knows? Like, I was in the middle of America the second time Bush got elected, and everyone was like, oh my God, it was fixed. And I was like, no, it wasn't. Like, these motherfuckers voted.
I'm not talking about those people. Maybe I'm talking
about... Well, they make up a lot of the world.
I'm talking about most of the people that are really secular, non-practicing people. That, in other words, the sort of, I guess you would call them agnostics, maybe, or maybe sort of undecided voters, that kind, except for religion. But I think, like, if you want to bring those people back into religion, if I were a church or a synagogue or whatever, I would try to, like, understand their definition of God and present the church according, you know, and kind of like the way AA does when they say, you know, you just need a higher power, you know, because there's the whole thing Joseph Campbell talks about, the unitary experience versus the, I forget what it's called. It's like a God that is separate from you versus a God that we are all a part of this big God thing. And I think that's the difference.
You're talking about pantheism.
No, I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about pansies.
But there are a lot of people from religions putting forth ideas like that.
I don't
think
pantheism is the same thing, Rachel. I don't think so.
No, pantheism means that God is a part of everything. It was invented by Baruch Spinoza. And the concept that you're referring to, where there's some sort of
universal
consciousness that we're all a part of, is called pantheism.
That's right. That's right. And it's like the Eastern religions then are more pantheist, and the Western religions are more, what's the other version then? Just monotheism or what?
Well, monotheist. But if you look into, that's what I was going to say, is if you really look into some of the Western religions, you start to notice that in the mystical elements, whether it's Sufism and Islam or, you know, Kabbalah or even Hasidism, some of the, you know, bigger rabbis, or even Christian Gnosticism, you start to come across some different ideas. Okay. But hold on, I'm looking for this quote I want to read you that's really good, and then I got to go.
What different ideas?
Because it's not just what you say. Huh? There are people trying to put those other ideas across.
What do you
mean? For those exact reasons.
What do you mean?
Hold on, let me just try to find this quote.
I mean, I don't understand.
There's got to be a better way.
Specific. I'm not sure what those reasons, what? What were we talking about? I'm lost.
You said if religion wants to sell itself to the modern person who's like kind of an agnostic and believes in this idea of God kind of being some universal.
I'm not saying what I mean. What I mean is this, and I should just speak in terms of myself. I think what I'm interested in religion for, or spirituality, and I'm not really one of these people. I don't really find it all that interesting to separate the two. I think I find a lot of people separate spirituality from religion, and I find it kind of elitist and defeatist, self-defeating. And
I agree, and I think go ahead.
So the thing is, what I'm looking for in whichever of those you want to call it is basically the fundamental reason I'm interested in religion, if I am, is to cross that bridge.
Right, bridge that gap.
The bridge between the known and the unknowable.
I found the quote. This is from a contemporary conservative I just want to finish that sentence. Rabbi.
The bridge between the known and the unknowable. That's all.
The mystical, yeah.
Okay. So what's the
Listen
quote?
To this quote, okay? I copied it down verbatim. It was so good because it was in an interview. This is Rabbi Harold Schulweis, okay? He's like an old-ass rabbi here in L.A., a conservative rabbi.
Yeah.
We do not teach poetry. We're ashamed of teaching poetry or myth or legend. We're ashamed of doing what the Kabbalah warns us that we've got to do. They say that if you're reading the Torah literally, you're just dealing with the outer garment. You've got to get to the inner world. We have to catch up to the 12th century. Very important.
Yeah, that's good.
Good, right?
It's very good, but it really makes me wish you had a
better. So there are rabbis saying that. That's all I'm saying.
It is, but it was worthy of a better microphone. I need you to read that again.
Really? It's that bad?
It's making these little glitches. I just need you to say it again because there was just, it's too annoying that it cut off certain consonants.
So annoying, and I lost the quote again. Hold on.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Well, I didn't know. I was going to have to go back. I thought this mic was sounding okay, or I would have.
Yeah, but it has this noise reduction feature, and it might be the Skype where it's doing noise reduction. The way noise reduction works is there's always like a microsecond that it, before it realizes you're talking, so it fucks up consonants.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So it's read it slowly and loud.
Okay. Well, it's going to be a while before I even find it. It's a really long time.
You don't have a fucking back button? I don't get it.
No, because it was in my Facebook feed, and when I clicked back, it went back to only the part that was showing.
Well, I hope Danny Zuckerberg was listening, because there's too many problems with that fucking shit. Can't. Sometimes when I want a quote, I just Google like the words from the quote that I know are effective, and then it finds it.
I know, but the thing is, it's not a quote that was in a book or anything. I transcribed it from a show I was watching because I was so into it. Get it?
Yeah.
So this may be the only place it's been typed in the world. Hold on, I'm getting close. I know it.
All right.
This is the most boring, shitty show. You wanted me to bitch with you by your family. I didn't bitch. I stayed positive. I'm having my own freak out. Oh, my God. Did you see the stills from my music video shoot? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Who were they doing, like, your stuff?
They're dancing.
To which?
To Lie Down Beside You, my poem, Lie Down Beside You, which you should play at the end of the show, even though you've played that track a million times. Play it for Quinn, because Quinn asked for tracks.
It's Kong, I think. Queen, because it's like from Rosenkamp, they're Kong Kong, like kind of French.
So,
I think French.
Like a year and 2 months ago, I started working on this music video with two friends of mine. And they were together as a couple and they started working on it. And one of them was a stylist and one of them was a director. And then they broke up and the project just kind of fizzled and I just stayed kind of zen about it. I didn't push it, you know what I mean? And then I trusted divine intervention because a few months after that, like one of my favorite choreographers in the world, this guy Keith Johnson,
yeah. He
was one of the original Bill T. Jones dancers, called me and he said, hey, I choreographed a dance to one of your poems and I really want you to see it. And then I see it and it is the most to die for male modern dance.
How did he hear of you? How did he get you?
We know each other we're colleagues because remember when I went to Cal State Long Beach for a little while?
Yeah.
Or you might not remember, but when Reagan first started working there, I was going to grad school there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's where I met because I was involved with the dance program. And as soon as I met him, I was like, I love him. And I actually took
this
modern dance.
I'm amazed that you can make this story. So the answer to my question so long. That's like a world's record of question answering.
I feel like you're going to tell me when you understand what the fuck I'm talking about.
I do. I just
whatever. I know I'm from Long Beach. So he teaches there now. So he choreographed a dance on these two beautiful male dancers who are former students of his. And I was like, if I ever finish this music video, I want this to be like the main bulk of the video. So amazing and world-class choreography. So beautiful. So then out of the blue, like a week ago, the director called me and he was like, hey, let's finish that video. And I was like, sweet, we got to film these guys. So hopefully it'll be done really soon.
Well,
Which I have the poetry quote.
It's from the album of the same name, because that's the name of the album with your head on it with the pigtails, right? That's the name of the album, right? But it's also a song on there?
It's not the name of the album, but that's the one that it's on.
It's not the name of the album.
No, but that's the album that it's on. It has that picture.
Oh, because on the album art, it looks like Lie Down Beside Me is the name of the album to me. I was just looking at it. Because I was trying to figure it out the other day. Okay.
Whatever. That's cool. You have the song. And when you see the dance, you're going to shit yourself. It is so beautiful. Aren't they just beautiful dancers? Like, their thigh muscles are, like, defined. Like, they're just beautiful, you know? The dancing is so world class. It's so beautiful.
I'm trying to look up this Colombian restaurant, and you're confusing me. It was so good. Oh, my God.
Sorry.
I ate at a Colombian
restaurant.
Do you
want to hear the rabbi quote
so
or not?
Good. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. They're so fast. I didn't know you'd be ready this quick.
We do not teach poetry. We're ashamed of teaching poetry or myth or legend. We're ashamed of doing what the Kabbalah warns us that we've got to do. They say that if you're reading the Torah literally, you're just dealing with the outer garment. You've got to get to the inner world. We have to catch up to the 12th century. It's very important. Rabbi Harold Schulweis.
We have to catch up to what century?
Catch up to the 12th century.
Why?
Do you get what he's saying, though? Come on.
I don't, not that part. I don't get that part.
Well, he's talking about what you're talking about. He's a rabbi saying... people want to bridge that gap. They want that bridge from reality that we're in now to the unknowable. And the bridge is to not interpret Torah or any religious ancient text in a fundamental way.
But I don't get why
they
say 12th century. Why does he say 12th century?
He's saying that at that time, the Jewish scholars actually had a better grasp on the fact that the Torah was a living, evolving thing and understood that the stories existed on one level, but they were metaphorical for other universal truths below them in a way that...
Why do you say that like I'm a fucking idiot for not knowing that? How the fuck am I supposed to know that?
No. I'm not saying it like you're an idiot for not knowing. I promise. I don't think that.
I feel like it was bothering you for you having to explain this very obvious.
No, not at all. I don't feel that way at all. I feel passionate about this subject. It's probably just that I'm being emphatic, but it's not at all
because
you're annoying me or something.
All right. Well, that is very interesting. I didn't know that about the 12th century. Why was the 12th century different?
Well, it was there was a lot of Kabbalah scholarship then. It's what he happened to be referring to in the quote. I mean, there's been periods, and that quote is taken out of context, and he was talking specifically about the forgotten art of, like, Maimonides and people teaching that the Torah is a metaphorical poem with a deeper message rather than being a fundamentalist and being like, oh, it literally says this, so people live to 172 or whatever. It's not about that. It's about the meaning. And he has a book, actually, that you'd really like, I think. He's a really fucking cool, progressive dude. And this book is called, I think it's called For Those Who Can't Believe. And it talks exactly to, it speaks to what you're speaking of, you know?
Yeah.
It's really good. It's probably like $8.
I can't afford it.
Okay, well, maybe I'll send you a copy because,
can
you
like
know,
send
it's not
me
some freaky.
You can't send anything to France. Like, they don't have postage here. Can you do like, an e-book thing? Is it on an e-book?
Yeah, you want me to buy it and send it to you on ebook? Is that what you're saying?
Just send me the link. You don't need to buy it.
I'm sure it's on Kindle or iBooks or something, yes.
All right. Sorry, I'm trying to find this.
But I think you would enjoy it because here's the thing that I try to explain to people who are like really, really anti-religion. And for the most part, in terms of organized religion and religion being used as a tool of control, I'm against it too. But like a friend of mine, for one example, it just makes me think of what you were talking about.
Yeah.
She's big. She works in science, you know, and a colleague of hers who is a big scientist died of cancer, like kind of young, you know, like maybe his 50s. And
Yeah.
So you had to go to the funeral, and it was like this full on mishigas. It was just like a full on proper Catholic service. You know, it was very long, and there's the standing up and the sitting down and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And she just, I mean, with all due respect, she was being very respectful and loving, but she was just like, it was mind blowing for her that this person who's like, you know, a scientist would want this kind of funeral. And like, she's like, does God really care if we stand up and sit down and the prayers and da da da? And I realized, like, as someone, and she grew up with religion shoved down her throat, very fundamentalist Christian background. I grew up without any religion, my parents thinking it was a bad thing, which ultimately, like, if I had to choose, I'm glad I grew up the way I did. I'm glad they were intellectually focused. I think it balanced me. Mm-hmm. But like, it was so easy for me to explain it. Like, it's not, I was like, dear friend, it's not for God. They're not doing it to please God because God will be mad if they don't stand up and sit down in that part. The ritual, like you were talking about, that is so needed. The ritual is for them. It's not for God. The ritual is something that if it works that way, that God, quote unquote, gives to us, quote unquote, you know, to help with the mourning process in that example. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what?
I think a lot of people in the Western world get fucked up about God. They're like, why would God care if I prayed every morning? Why would, it's like, dude, it's not for you. It's not for God. You'll feel better.
For me, it's not that. It's more like authority. It's more like about the authority of the... In my experience, most of the rabbi... And I did go to, you know, the temple a lot as a child. I did the whole religious school thing, blah, blah, blah. So yeah. I'm quite jaded. But my experience...
Right, and I'm totally
but my
the
experience,
opposite. No,
okay, but my experience is that most of the time, I felt like the people, the individuals, forget God, we're not talking about God, the individuals,
right.
Human beings that told me to sit down, to rise, they didn't say stand up, rise, were assholes and didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
Right.
And they were paid in a cush job by the synagogue to be fucking clueless. And this is why I like the Mormons. Because the Mormons don't pay their fucking preachers. It's just part of the community. I mean, they pay their fucking church shitloads. Don't get me wrong. They give tons of money away to their church. But their preachers are just part of the, like, they're just people, which I think makes an interesting dynamic or something.
There's a lot of rabbis like that,
that's
too.
That's why I'm
going to
vote Republican this year, and Mitt Romney, I think. Yeah, pick him.
Cool.
Yeah, so anyway, well, that's kind of it. It's interesting what you said. The quote was interesting, but the rest of it, I'm not sure.
Well, I'm just saying that. I'm only saying it to point out because you said, why aren't religious leaders appealing to that segment of the population that is hungering for something but can't take the fundamentalist aspect seriously? And I was like, well, there are some.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying he's the end-all be-all or anything. I was just giving an example of...
I think, like, the preachers need to get out of the picture, like, kind of get out of the way. But the problem is then you're taking money. It's... Yeah, see, it really starts to make sense the more I think about it, because it's like, okay, maybe there is a distinction. The distinction that I think maybe it really is, that whether people are cognizant of this or not, I don't know. Maybe it's not true, but obviously I'm just trying to figure it out. But the religion versus spirituality thing, I think in some ways it's profit-making from religion and spirituality, profit-making from finding the bridge versus not profiting. Healthcare,
right.
kind of like healthcare for profit, bad. Healthcare for to make people better, without sacrificing quality, good. You know,
right. It's a sticky situation. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Soon as money gets, I can only tell you this in my experience, my very very limited religious experience, mm-hmm. in exploring not just Judaism but all of the things I've chosen to explore. I've always done it through learning-based things that were outreach-based, where there wasn't like a weird pyramid of power where someone was like making a lot of money off the top of
it.
You know,
like,
what I mean?
I like listening to that Rabbi Nachman podcast because I'm not investing in it. I don't have to go anywhere. I'm not paying him.
I don't know. I think you're talking about Rabbi David Sacks, because Rabbi Nachman died like 300 years ago.
The one whose podcast you made me listen to.
Yeah, David Sack. He's a TV writer. It's a good example of what you're talking about. He doesn't make any money off what he's doing religiously at all.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's a TV writer.
And that's
why there's no conflict of interest.
See, that's why I can listen to it. And that's what I'm talking about. And this is where the church and the synagogues, they need to change, I think.
Well, and there's an example of it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
His sound quality is horrible. His sound quality is worse than yours. It's like I wear the headphones, you know, and I'm walking around, and I'm like, I have to fucking pull them out of my ear. He gets so loud.
I know. It's like, it's terrible. But who cares? Because what you sacrifice in quality, you get in integrity. And so you love how he always, like, cites his sources. He never acts like he came up with some brilliant idea. He's like, this is where I learned it from. Or is like, I don't even try to understand this right.
Well, and I liked what he said was, I liked what he said basically, like, if you hear something that doesn't make sense and you say that's stupid, don't do that. Say it doesn't make sense and try.
Yeah, that's a red flag to you that you're being dismissive. Yeah, he's great. That's great that you're listening to it. I'm really excited. Mm. I really love him. And a lot because of what you're saying, because I know he's not profiting off of it, so it doesn't taint his agenda or his approach or what he shares.
His vagenda. He has a vagenda.
Vagine is not French. It comes from Borat.
No, but vagine did not just start with Borat. It could not possibly have started with Borat.
Borat said it first.
Borat did not say vagine first. Vagine, I think it's... You're going to fucking don't start with me. I'm not going to look at vagine.
I feel like there's so much more I want to talk to you about.
It's 2 in the morning. I have a job.
Should I take a nap or should I just do my work?
You know what? This is the thing.
Just do the work, huh?
If you have to shop... My friend has this really good saying, but I just remember that first half, which is, if you have to shop for advice, then return it. I don't know.
Talking to you.
I know. I fucking shop for advice every day. Yeah, take a nap and take some heroin. That's my advice.
Heroin, that will make everything much more productive, I'm sure.
It's so weird. I found a vagine worm. It's kind of cute. Instead of... I'm going to share... I found vagine worm. It's a
look
worm.
Look up gooey duck clam.
What?
Look up gooey duck clam. Trust me.
I hate the internet. What the fuck is that?
It's a clam.
What the fuck is it?
It's a clam.
All of it?
Yep.
I don't get it.
You have to put a picture up of it now so people listening can. That has to be our album art.
No, it's made me sick. It is.
Seattle region?
No. This thing gives me the willies. I can't look at that.
I know. It's awesome. It is I knew you wouldn't like it as a lesbian. So listen,
oh my
it's
God,
native
I went to
the Seattle region.
Stop it.
And it's a delicacy in Japan, I'm pretty sure.
Seriously, I have my headphones off. If you're still talking about it, I can't hear you.
It's a delicacy in Japan, Rachel, so it's imported from Seattle to Japan.
Rachel, I don't care. Oriental people, and I know you're not supposed to call them that, but you can when you're being derogatory and racist, which I...
It's very rude. I hate when you do that.
I can't stand what they fucking eat. They eat fucking cute little dolphins. They eat fucking whales. They feed them to the fucking kids at school, these endangered species and dolphins. Fuck them.
That is just like the most weird blanket statement.
Oh, please. Did you not see the documentary, The Cove?
Oh, God. Please.
And the fucking bugs that we're all going to start eating because there's so many fucking Chinese people? Are you kidding me? We're going to start eating spiders next week. Seriously.
Give me a fucking break.
Oh, you don't believe me? Or you just think it's no big deal that we have to eat bugs tomorrow?
I don't think we're going to eat bugs tomorrow if we can live off fruit and vegetables.
Nope, we're going to be eating bugs. Crickets.
Well, a lot of people really like crickets, and honestly, they don't look that different from lizards or shrimp.
I don't eat shrimp. I hate shrimp because they are fucking bugs to me. I do not eat
shrimp.
They
are bugs, and they're not kosher.
Well, that's not why I don't eat them. I hate shellfish because it's all fucking cockroaches to me. If I can,
well, it is, and it just means you're a good Jew.
Okay.
Can I just say something since we're talking about the Jew thing again? I just want to tell Dirk I love him. And, like, I just want, I feel Dirk's love towards me, and I love Dirk back, but
what?
We just have to agree to disagree about the Joy Division thing.
What are you fucking talking about?
Dirk.
Who's Dirk?
One of our listeners.
Oh, is he the one you had the argument about with the Joy Division? You're still out. Did you finish this argument or what?
No, because I don't want to. It's like, I get why he sees things. Here, I'm going to talk to Dirk directly. Dirk, I totally understand the way you see things and how you see them the way that you do. And I hope that you can respect that I see them differently. And it's all good. And, like, at our essential core, we agree about the nature of art and culture. We just have different life experiences that lead us to a different approach. And I just want to express my love to him and all the listeners and fans who are so loving.
What do you mean it's all good? Okay, okay. Well, what do you mean it's all good? I don't get it. What is that?
What are you talking about?
You said it's all good. I don't get it. What's good? That there were Nazis? That there's still evil people all over the fucking planet? That's good? Because that's part of all. The last time I checked, all included everything on Earth.
If it's all good. When are you going to finish playing Scrabble with me?
I finished today. You're fucking screwed up. I finished 3 fucking games with you yesterday. You haven't responded. It's a fucking shit game. It is a shit game. It is not programmed properly. Words with Friends, you know what? You can call it a fucking ripoff of Scrabble. I don't care. But the goddamn, it's a fucking computer application that works. That Scrabble is a piece of beta testing nonsense. It doesn't fucking work, Rachel.
The beta games,
shut up. The games fucking disappear. It's slow. It's a piece of shit. Do not play that crap. Just fucking.
I'm playing it right now.
Play the game that works. Words with Friends works. Play Hanging with Friends. That works. The one, the boggle with
hanging friends. With friends.
Just because they don't want to pay. Like, I understand, like, you're so, like, you're this nonconformist poet slammer thing, but you got to stick to the brand name of board game, damn it. You got to have the real
Scrabble.
I know,
it is really weird. There are certain things that I'm, like, a purist about.
That's not a purist. You're a fucking sucker with a goddamn fucking lollipop on your head like goddamn Bugs Bunny. Scrap.
Oh, my God. I feel weird I admitted to taking a Xanax on the show. It's okay. Like, I was having, like, if I can't stop crying for, like, a few hours, it's okay to take a Xanax because I have work to do, right?
Rachel, I told you, I'm the last person that's going to art. There is nothing wrong with it. You know, like, this idea that you have to suffer is completely ridiculous and completely and utterly non-Jewish. No,
I know. Jews love taking meds.
Do you realize, Rachel, I'm totally in favor of Xanax. The thing is, taking a Xanax as needed is a good thing. And in my opinion, it makes a lot more sense than taking a fucking antidepressant every day, even when you're not depressed, which is that's how we're conditioned
exactly.
to do it. This is how modern psychology is, because they didn't make enough money off somebody having a prescription of, because you can live off a prescription of 15 Xanax for like 2 months or more.
Yeah, you're right. Way longer. I save them forever until they expire. I just knowing I have them around makes me feel better, because in case of emergency, I know they're there, you know?
Yeah, so I don't know. Just fucking get over it.
I know. No, I know. You're right.
You know, the psychology profession sucks, and some people are better off self-medicating.
No, I agree. Trust me, I agree. And I'm doing this really drastic diet right now, but it's really funny. I, like, fuck up every day. So I started over every day.
I can't wait to hear how stupid this one is. What is it, moth venom or something?
It's so dumb. No, it's not that dumb. Like, you know me. Like, I do really dumb shit, like water fast. It's nothing that drastic. It's called the 17-day diet.
Yeah.
And so for the first 17 days, it's like the typical kind of, you know, cut out shitty carbs, eat really lean proteins and like a salad and, you know, shit like that. It's nothing crazy. Like Atkins are like, no, eat bacon cheeseburger without a bun. You're good. Eat low fat, lean, healthy meat.
How is a diet?
Or protein.
How is a diet that only lasts 17 days not crazy?
No.
Or what do you lose, 2 pounds?
The first phase is 17 days, and then you go to another phase, and it slowly introduces you to, like, a normal diet. It seems like pretty
sound. Oh, my God. I'm so sick of fucking diets. Can I tell you something? I have a friend who shall remain nameless, and she is such a wonderful person. but plagued, as you and I both are, and many people we know, plagued for our entire lives with weight issues. Now, she has a diet doctor. Do you know what the diet doctor told her?
Well, I will not put myself in that category. Listen, as someone who's lifelong plagued with weight issues, because I don't want that to be my reality, but go on.
All right, so that's not your reality because you live in L.A. and you have to lie to yourself constantly and create new realities. Fine. Whatever. That's your business. You know you.
Lots of people would look at me and say I look fine.
You do look fine. Never mind. I thought you were like me. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were like fucking size zero. Anyway.
No, I am like you. I'm just saying I don't want to affirm to the universe I am plagued with weight issues. That is not helpful for me because I believe in the mind's power to affect the body.
You believe in
that's
the power.
That's not the same as LA bullshit like The Secret.
No, you believe
in
the religion.
It's much different when you talk about the internal ecosystem of your body.
Okay, I have a reading assignment for you, which is the Barbara Ehrenreich book. Fucking goddamn it.
Oh, yeah. No, she's so awesome. I fucking love it.
Good, then you'll read it.
She's awesome. Brilliant.
Oh,
so anyway,
fuck.
Go on. Your friend who has a diet doctor.
Okay, the Barbara Ehrenreich book I want you to read is called Bright Sided, How Positive Thinking Is.
No, I've read it. She's fucking brilliant.
America.
I love her.
Okay, well, read it again. You need to. But anyway, the point is.
No, I don't.
This has so nothing to do with the point. Nothing whatsoever. The point is that my friend went to this diet doctor, and the diet doctor told her to eat fat-free whipped cream as much as she wants. Because you want...
People are on this fat-free whipped cream trip. I had Dr. Oz
what?
On the other day.
Are you kidding me?
Talking about it, too.
What? This
I'm
is
like,
a trend?
Shut the fuck up.
I thought
it's
this
disgusting.
Is one person. I didn't know this is like a trend. I thought this is one person.
I didn't either.
And I told her, I said, person on the other end of the phone. Who I can relate to. Don't. I don't say. I said this is witchcraft. This is a nonsense. Because if
that's
you're just
not a good. Advice.
I mean, if,
yeah, that's
if
not
you're going to do
advice.
That, what you're doing is binging on something that maybe isn't that bad for you, but you're binging. You're not stopping the binging. This is crazy.
Yeah, you can't.
So
have
what you
like
do is
unlimited amounts of fat-free whipped cream. It's
so
disgusting.
Just fucking get over it and just say, you know what? I'm overweight and accept it. And maybe, just maybe, after a while of doing that, you fucking won't have such a big fucking hang-up about food. You won't be thinking about it all the time and stuffing your goddamn face.
Yeah, I definitely am obsessed with food every day. That's why I wanted to tell you about it. It's really funny because so my mom sent me, like, fuck, I can't lose weight. Mm-hmm. So my mom's like, try the 17 diet. And it's a 17-day diet. And it says if you fuck up, you have to start over on day one. So I started on February 1st. So guess what day I'm on?
One.
Day one, I fuck up every single day. Like, it's just become another way to make myself crazy. Like, I'm like, do good. Like, I eat lettuce and, like, you know, coconut milk, yogurt, and blueberries all fucking day. And then at night, I'll be like, oh, my God, I just want to binge.
Now, listen.
And my binge is, like, not even a bad food. My binge is, like, almonds. But, like,
now,
almonds
listen.
Aren't
Hold
on phase one.
Hold on. Stop for a second. I want to catch you. I want to show you the way you're thinking because... You just said, today, I start off eating lettuce, I'm being good. Not.
No.
Now, it's the,
no,
the problem.
According
shut
to the
up
diet,
for 5
according
seconds.
To the crazy
this
diet.
This is important. No, I don't know if it's the diet, but it's this, or if it's you, it doesn't matter. But associating good and bad to what you eat, I believe, is extremely unhealthy and very, very
no, me too. It's crazy. I'm not saying any of this is
fake. Like, I hate when it says, like, chocolate, sinful chocolate. Like, I'm very aware of this, which is like sinful chocolate cake. There is nothing sinful about eating a chocolate cake. There is nothing sinful about eating 10 chocolate cakes. There is something sinful about murdering somebody or killing your baby, you know?
Yes,
or cheating on your
agree.
Wife. Sin, you know, and that's so fucked up that, and sometimes I think we associate as much of that kind of sin. Like, it doesn't say thou shalt not, 10th commandment, thou shalt not eat too much chocolate sinful delight cake. Thou shalt not
well,
use whole
cream.
Well,
one of the 7 deadly sins is gluttony, so I would offer that up or whatever.
Okay. That's true. All right.
But
now, who made
the
those
thing
up?
About it is you, You're right. And like
anyway?
The less you make yourself crazy with it, the more you would be better off. But
where
do
the seven deadly sins come from, by the way? I don't even know. Do you?
What?
Where did the seven deadly sins come from?
Where do they come from?
Yeah.
Like where, like, scripturally?
Yeah. Is it from, I don't even know if it's from scripture. I don't know where it comes from. I mean, I know it's in like a lot of paintings and shit.
Is it Christian? I don't know. Hold on. I'm curious. I'm glad neither of us act like we know things when we don't. Oh. I hate when people do that.
No, it says in the Wikipedia it comes from SpongeBob and SquarePants.
Hold on. Yeah, early Christian times. They're Christian.
See, then it doesn't matter. See? Gluttony is not.
You're right, according to Jews, but we have 613 mitzvah. Yeah. I'm sure one of them in there is like feel guilty about it because enough Jews do it.
No, fuck that. 10 matter. And it's gluttony is not one of them. That's why we get to eat so much and we're fat. So just get over it. No association.
Okay. I agree with you.
No association. We should not. No, it should be. The commandment should be thou shalt not associate. What do you call it? Good or bad? What do I mean? You know, what do you, morality with eating.
Qualifiers, yeah, whatever
except,
you want to call it.
Except when you're like super fat. Then it matters. You know?
Yeah.
Like if you're super morbidly obese. My friend David Surt is so awesome. He put out a call because he's doing this like play about like, you know, like toddlers and tiaras, like a musical, that kind of thing. And he specifically,
that's amazing.
He specifically requested morbidly obese actors. Isn't that nice?
That's so rad. He's so rad.
I know. Like, that's awesome.
Fucking badass, seriously.
And he, like, his brother died last week. And he, all these people were, like, you know, sending condolences on Facebook, you know, because that's what people do and it's easy. And he's like, and then he wrote another post, like, the next day. He said, everybody wants to know what they can do to help. He said, just keep being fabulous. And I wrote back. And everybody's like,
aww.
Everybody wrote these comments like, love you, David. Love you, blah, blah. I wrote, can I just be fat? Because being fat and fabulous is just too much work. But he pressed the like button.
That's good.
Don't you hate when you post something awesome and like nobody presses like, or like the person you want to press like doesn't press
like? I don't, well... I'm sure I would feel that way because I am a loser who has no life, but there's no one I even care if they press like specifically right now because I've so isolated myself.
I have one. You're gonna...
But I'm not saying I'm above it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like such a weirdo right now.
Okay. I'm going to be totally like self-revealing in an embarrassing way and tell you what recently that happened to me because you know perfectly well who it is because it's the same person I always have weird disapproval issues when I'm just having discussions with you, right? So guess who?
Reagan.
Yes. So his...
Why do you? It's so weird.
Oh, who cares? Because who cares? I don't even care why. I just think it's fun. It's like the letter to my sister. Or from my sister. Let's see. Who isn't really my sister? Let's see. Okay, so he writes... This video is everything. Fame City Tiffany concert, 93Q in 1987. Remember the days of 93Q? Well, anyway, it's a Tiffany video from 1987. And this is the day after Whitney Houston died. I don't know if you knew that, but she died. But anyway, so I was the first comment.
May she rest in peace.
So when I saw the video, and it was kind of like, whatever, it's Tiffany with hair. It wasn't even that good. But I wrote back, first post, I wrote, Madge Weinstein. This is all caps. OMG, is she dead too? Question mark. Lowercase now. I'm like, no, Tiffy, I think you're alone now. No, he didn't press like. And not only that, you know, one person pressed liked. Only one. You know who that was?
I can't even hazard a guess.
Me. Is that pathetic?
Oh my god, you're such a loser.
Oh, I know, it's so good. Like, it's so pathetic when like you have to like your own post and then you're the only person.
Why do you think you're so obsessed with Reagan? I think Reagan loves you and like everything's fine.
No, he doesn't actually. No.
Why you think Reagan hates us?
You and I are not one person, Rachel. There's not an us.
Do you think Reagan hates either of us?
No, not at all. Absolutely not.
So what's your deal?
I don't know. I just, you know, just don't know. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I thought that that would be funny. I thought he would find that funny. And it really was important to me that he found that funny, but he didn't. And I think he's withholding. Yeah, some people, like, they purposefully hold back just to fuck with you. I think he thought that was funny, but he didn't press like. How could that not be funny? Was it not funny, Rachel? I thought it was funny.
No, it is funny, but what's not funny is how obsessive stalker you're acting about this. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's weird.
Is it?
It's kind of weird because I feel like it's not necessary. Like, I feel like Reagan loves us and we're just friends, but maybe he hates us and it is worth you obsessing over.
What's this us? I don't understand this us. But it's kind of weird when you think about, like, you're just talking about how you went with him to Thanksgiving. You know, and like, why were you so close then and now you're not? Just.
You know why he got really mad with that time when I was supposed to watch his dog.
So?
And I overslept. And we never were friends really again since. And I fucked up. It's true.
And you apologized.
Of course. It was my bad. I'm not defensive when I do something wrong. I apologize profusely.
Hmm. And you think that has something to do with... I don't think... Whatever. You're right, though. You're totally right. It is fucked up. So I'm done with it. I can be done with that.
I'm just pointing out that, yeah, like, I think you have better, more interesting things to think about, number one. And number two, I don't think he has a problem or dislike of you, but I could be totally wrong about that because I have major trust issues and abandonment issues, so I've basically isolated myself and shut everyone out of my life so I don't have to deal with that shit. So in my world, everything's fine.
I don't think there's any dislike issues. I'm more concerned. I would be less concerned if he disliked me. What I'm concerned of is there's this sort of apathy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But why would it? That's my question. Why would that concern you?
I felt like we had a lot of. I felt like I had. I guess I maybe had a feeling like the friendship was maybe more than it was, you know. I don't mean more than friendship. I mean, certainly don't mean that. But I mean that our friendship was what I consider a friendship, which goes deeper than just being on podcasts together.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, I had, and I'm not saying like boohoo, poor me, but I just had.
I mean, you and I have that. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you and I are mainly just on podcasts together, but we still have a relationship that is more than just being on podcasts together.
I consider you my friend.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
If you come to LA, you can stay with me. Like, that's my friend. I wouldn't just let anybody. You're my friend.
Yeah. And I guess the thing is, I don't know. And I really don't even, like, feel embarrassed talking about it because I have nothing really to say. I don't fucking know. It just bothers me for some reason. You know, and honestly, okay, let's be real. I mean, it's just like, okay, the funeral was today.
Right, I know. That's what I was thinking about you.
In 2006, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you and Reagan both flew there and were there, and that created a very strong bond with me and you and him in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I just
me too.
Felt like it wasn't real on his end, honestly. I don't. And I feel
I
like,
think
and,
that...
if, and if I really have to answer the question, why is there this, what am I, it's something to do with that. I just feel like there's something.
I understand.
Like for me, like the way I am with people generally is like, when you you know that I'm a bitch and a cunt and all that, blah, blah, blah. But when we've achieved a certain level together, then there becomes a permanent bond that you can't really break. I mean, you can, but it's hard to. And, yeah.
I completely understand and agree with that. Yeah. And I'm saying I find that other people don't feel the same way as maybe you and I do about stuff like that. I don't know what's gone on in his head or what was that, but I just send him love and wish him well. Yeah.
Well, that's reasonable. I mean, why should everybody think the same way? It's kind of egotistical to think that they should.
Yeah, like I've had so many people, and I'm not saying this about Reagan, like just in general, like in the last, say, 5 to 10 years, I've had so many people that I really thought were like some ride or die homies, like good mm-hmm. friends, people that I really trusted just mm-hmm. completely fucking dagger me between the shoulder blades. Mm-hmm. That at this point, I just kind of, I don't mean that like boo-hoo poor me or whatever. Like, it's not like I don't think about it and think like, maybe I deserve it. Maybe I'm a fucked up person. Who knows? Whatever. But I don't actually think that deep down. I just think people have different priorities and people have different agendas and people are after different things. So maybe I'm more the delusional one and I should obsess over stuff like that more. But I just find that people don't always think the same way I do.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of priorities and shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that to sound fucked up, and I really hope it doesn't.
I don't think it sounds fucked up at all. Why would it?
Because I'm just trying to be really diplomatic and saying that, you know.
I don't think it sounds fucked up at all.
Most people don't give a fuck.
Is that right?
It seems like it. But then again, it's like quality over quantity. But I can see, all I'm saying is, I can see how you would have an attachment and a fixation to that moment that we shared together on Valentine's Day and feel like it connected us. I feel connected with you because of it.
Yeah.
I feel like we share something.
Right.
I'm not saying that Reagan doesn't feel that. I don't know how it processes in his head.
Right.
People are just different. And I don't have anything bad to say about him, that's all.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, I don't get it, but I get what you're saying. I don't get the whole situation, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, overall, it's, weird... it's like people think differently, and who the fuck knows?
Right.
Who the fuck knows?
And some he could just be really, really.
Yeah, on a season. You said the last time, but the thing is, he could just be really fucking busy. You know, he's got his life and all that shit.
Yeah, he teaches at fucking Cal State Long Beach. I mean,
I've got tons of people.
No fucking joke.
And I have people who I probably do the exact same thing to as I'm thinking he does, and I'm sure I do. Like this fisherman has called me 6 fucking times this week, 10 probably. I haven't called him back. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a,
and I have people I should be calling back right now and even work I should be doing. And I feel like, oh, I don't have any time. But when it comes to you, I make time and I'm happy to talk. I don't care.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, that's true. It's just fucking shit. It's bullshit. It doesn't really matter. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that like a whatever. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. You know?
Yeah, ultimately, that's what I mean. Like, we're back to that same shit. Like, I was just talking to my ex-boyfriend, Greg. I was supposed to go to the movies with tonight for Valentine's Day. I'm like, where's your fucking fiance? But she's, like, in San Francisco working on a film. I love her, working on a commercial out there. And he's like, how are you? Like, how's Valentine's Day? And I'm like, you know, like, it's not like I'm a cynic. Because, like, even when I am in a relationship on Valentine's Day, I feel the same way. Like, when I'm in a relationship, I'm not all like, oh, lovey-dovey, snuggly. I always identify more with single people than relationship people. I've just spent so much of my life alone that my empathy, like, lies with loners more than it does with coupled up people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so even on Valentine's Day, I'm like, whatever. Like, ultimately, we're all going to fucking die alone. There's nothing you can fucking do about that. Like, at the end, it's just you and fucking
the Grim
Jessica Rippy. Lang in a cheesy white lace dress from the 80s, according to All That Jazz, which is how I'm basing my life.
Well, that was Jessica Lang, wasn't it?
Yeah. She had, like, those nice lace fingerless gloves, but remember?
That's not alone.
So all we know for sure is death and taxes. We know there's taxes, and we know that one day we'll be staring down a black hole of despair with a white pin light at the end, and Ben Vereen will be singing, and Jessica Lange will be waiting there for us, and that's all we know for sure.
How many times have you said that, seen that movie? Like a million times?
Seen the movie? No, not like a crazy amount compared to some people. Like, it's probably my all-time favorite movie, and I've probably seen it like 15 times.
Yeah, me too. It's funny. I don't think we've ever
talked about that movie. I'm not a rewatcher like other people are.
Yeah, we've never talked about that movie, but it's one of my favorites too.
Oh my God, it's like my all-time.
There were some really fucking good movies around that same time. Like, I really like The Hunger with
that vampire movie, lesbian vampire movie. And of course you do, because you're a big old lesbian.
And Cat People.
Oh my God, I can't believe you've been down the same category as all that jazz.
Natasha Kinski.
But it's all that jazz.
David Bowie soundtrack. And you know what I saw on Broadway was I saw Dancin', which was a Bob Fosse musical. Did you ever hear of that?
I saw it too. And I even remember, like, there was one New York style deli in the town I grew up in.
Yeah.
And there was a poster, like, it had all different Broadway posters all over the place because it was a New York deli in a small town.
Yeah.
And it had that Dancin' poster. Remember that weird poster had, like, all the different legs coming out? And it was just, like, Anne Rankin's head with the hat pulled down in front.
Did you see it?
And I was like, that's who I want to be one day.
Did you see it on Broadway?
Yeah, I think. I was really young.
Yeah, me too.
I barely remember.
Well, you would have been even younger than me. I saw it on Broadway with Aunt Mary. It was a Wednesday matinee. And what I remember most, well, it's really all I remember about it because I thought it was boring as hell at that age. I really did. But there were, you know how those New York City, the Broadway matinees are, they're fucking vicious. The women will literally punch each other for tickets. Literally, they will. They have. They do. When you go to those discount ticket booths, you stand there all night. Well, anyway, so we wait for fucking 4 hours at the discount ticket booth to see fucking Dancin', like boring ass shit to me. But the thing is, I'm a little girl, but I used the restroom because I was such a hardcore lesbian. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the restroom. Uh-huh. So I'm in the little boy's room because I'm a lesbian. Never mind.
Uh-huh.
And there's this huge, and there's not a line for the men's room because it's a fucking matinee and men pee fest anyway, unless you're at the opera and it's all these prostate issues. But there's a huge line for the ladies' room. And it's all these militant, like fucking bad, and it was the 70s, I think, so it was a fucking badass, like Gloria Steinem clones everywhere. They fucking invaded the men's room and took it over.
That's awesome.
It is not awesome.
I love it.
It scared my little lesbian to
death. And as a lesbian, you should love it too. Sometimes you just are weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like this is probably one of my worst appearances ever.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I'm done. Well, I probably shouldn't do it on Xanax anymore, but I was having such a panic attack, so that's that.
I don't know. You learn. From my standpoint, it was pretty good, but then again, what do I know? I mean, I'm not pleased with the sound quality, technically on your end, but I think the conversation was interesting.
Well, and, John Safran, I'm not going to try to be his friend anymore. He's not even nice to me.
Oh, I subscribe to his podcast, too.
You listen to it?
Yeah, I did.
Did you like it?
I liked it just because it was long, and when I wake up, sometimes I don't want to get out of bed, so I'll listen to podcasts. I like the John guy, the Father Bob or whatever. I like a lot.
Father Bob, he's great. Yeah,
I mean,
Rachel.
It's a good show. Yeah, I do like it. I do.
It's more his TV stuff. I like where he's sniffing girls' underwear and chin.
I don't like it as much as Terry Gross, which is like, I really love Terry Gross, but the podcast of that. What is that show called?
I know. I'm not very NPR. Like, I'm more Howard Stern than NPR, but I'm not proud of that. You know.
Yeah, okay. Well, if Howard Stern was as easy to get as Terry Gross, I'd probably listen to it, but,
Fair enough.
All I had to do was, turn on my iPhone and have it automatically download every day, yeah, I'd probably listen to him. But
that is all you have to do.
He's too fucking caught up in the old way of paying for shit, He doesn't get it.
No, there is an iPhone app for it now.
Yeah, you have to fucking get it illegally, but you know what? I'm not going to do it.
$5 a month. It's so cheap.
It's not. Oh, you mean serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably doesn't work. Nothing works in Europe. They have all these fucking legal issues anyway.
That's your fault.
I can't get Netflix. I can't get, like, it's the whole copyright cartel, and he's buying into it. You know, he fucking should give the shit away and put his ads in the goddamn podcast and get fucking over himself. He's got plenty of money.
I don't think you really know the situation. You're just saying that because, like, he's fucking awesome.
Well, I know that I would like to hear the show, and I don't. And
well, yeah, I can't speak to the Europe issue. I don't know about that, but I do know that
right.
you can get it for like $5 a yeah. month. I don't know if it works overseas.
No, I don't want to pay $5 a month and have to listen to his boring fucking ads too. I don't think that's fair. I think it's one or the other. Either
Understood.
You pay for it or you listen to ads, not both.
Understood.
I'm like, NPR, they're fucking awesome. Terry Gross is amazing. Shit, I listened to Howard for fucking 10 years. I have time for Terry Gross in my life. Shit. All right, Rachel, I think that's enough.
Yeah. This is terrible. I can't believe this is terrible. Wish me luck for tomorrow.
For your massive amounts of work. Is that what we're wishing? What are we
well,
wishing
yeah, about? My massive amount of work, but also tomorrow is my first day of training.
Your teacher training for your...
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're just, you bring that up because you're just purposefully trying to make me not laugh. Because I get that you're taking, you know, this is serious, but like, you know damn well that it's fucking pole dancing and nobody is going to take it seriously because on the surface it sounds so ridiculous. I mean, I get that it's serious,
but
you're almost like a militant lesbian walking around telling everybody that you're a lesbian in the same way. You know, it's kind of the same thing. It's like walking into let me finish. It's like walking to a fucking Baptist church, the kind that fucking hates everyone, and saying, I'm a lesbian. That's what you're doing. Yeah.
But I'm fine with that. I don't disagree with that.
Just be sure to do one thing for me. I know you don't think it's necessary, but please grease your vagina before your first day.
It's so rude when you say that, because my vagina doesn't rub on the pole.
Of pole dancing teacher. You know, this could be... I'm assuming you have a camera crew following you.
No, but we really should. That's actually a great idea. I wouldn't do it if there was a camera crew following us, though. You know that.
I just finished reading The Hunger Games first book, and I'm not proud of that. Have you read it?
You did? No, I haven't, but everybody I talk to thinks it's great.
It's not. It's terrible, actually. I mean, it's just horrible writing. I don't see how anybody could think it's great, honestly. It's such garbage. My sister recommended it to me, so that's why I read it. You know, and she's smart. I mean, she always beats me at Words with Friends, and she's super smart. And she has really good taste, and she reads everything, but it's crap, you know? It's really crap. But it was interesting because I thought it like made a really interesting statement about the whole reality TV thing, and like everything about it was like it was as if they basically took Big Brother and made it, you know, into life or death, which I always was one of my biggest most interesting observations about Big Brother is that if you listen to the way they talk, they always say they're fighting for their life. They always say that, and I think it's really interesting that they really were. And in Hunger Games, it's literal, you know? I have no idea what to make of it.
People are dying on... I feel like... I was just thinking about the other day. I mean, it is kind of weird that reality shows are killing people at this point. Like, Nicole Smith, I feel like, is dead partially because of that reality show. I mean, not that she's a train wreck. I'm not trying to, like, absolve all responsibility, but, like... And then that guy from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills committed suicide, like... But we're just, like, carrying on like this is cool. Like, it's not fucked up.
If you look at before a reality back... Oh, yeah, the Whitney thing. So what I find really interesting is, like, everybody's, like, so worshiping Whitney, and that's great. I'm all a fan of... I mean, like, when Princess Diana died, I was devastated, and somebody else died, and I thought that was horrible, too, you know, recently. You know, you get attached to certain celebrities, fine. I get it. But... I wonder how many of the people that are worshiping her and all this and putting cute little Facebook things up about angels, I wonder if any of those people were the same people that were like completely going off on her when she was destroying herself and watching her TV show.
I'm sure tons of them were.
Yeah. Do you even find that kind of interesting or no?
Yeah, I think it's typical. Like, again, I like live in Hollywood. I live in the fucking epicenter of it. We eat our young. That's what I mean. Like, we're like, you'd think someone would have a wake up call and be like, wow, dude, from reality shows, people die. They die. Maybe we should just like reflect before we continue on in this way. Nope.
I didn't know Anna Nicole Smith was on a reality show. Is that where she comes from?
No, she comes from being a guest model and marrying that super old rich guy. And then she had the Anna Nicole show. It was like one of the first reality shows to focus on a celebrity's life and just show what a train wreck they are. And they're just like on drugs in public. And it's kind of sad, you know?
Yeah. And Whitney had one too, right? That was the whole thing. Didn't she?
Yeah, but I never saw it. So I can't really say. Me either.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm totally like fucking my life up at this point. Like, I have like the hours are dwindling away. I'm totally a failure.
Oh,
that's really
helpful.
Upset with myself.
Okay, you're not a failure. You did that whole like Peter Pan thing, which was awesome. So just because you're like late for your pole dance, I don't know too many people who would consider that a failure.
Well, I just mean in terms of like getting, like I said, I just want to get everything squared away so I can like get into this new really busy part of my life that's just a few months long without like just at least feeling like I have clean laundry, you know what I mean? But every hour that ticks away, I'm losing the opportunity because I'm a fucking procrastinating fucktard. Oh,
yeah, welcome
to my life. I'm doing this like boot camp training thing. It's really awesome. It's really hard. It's like every morning at like 7 a.m. So I have to get up at like 6 and then I'm just like tired and out of it the rest of the day. So it's like trying to
get, like an athletic thing?
Yeah, like super athletic thing.
Oh my God, you're going to get super skinny.
Hopefully, I'm trying to. That's why I'm doing this 17-day diet. Like all I'm doing is eating egg whites. Like if I eat almonds, I feel like I had a major binge and I cry because I fucked up. It's really stressful.
Almonds, those are really trendy now, aren't they? Oh, God.
I don't know. I just, like, to me, I can't believe now, to me, like, almonds are a sinful, decadent food. Like, that used to be chocolate or something.
Sinful again. I hate almonds. I don't hate eating them. I hate what they are. I hate what they stand for in my mind.
Well, why? Because you think they're trendy right now? I think you're, like, out of the loop. I think they were trendy, like, 12 years ago.
Well, you're in L.A. Food trends start there. It's different.
Well, you're in Paris.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Thank God. That's the only good thing about being here is the food is amazing. I went for my little Valentine dinner, which I haven't had in a long time, but to this little...
Yeah, that's nice that you did that.
Went to this Indian restaurant. And you know what? The food was okay. I mean, it was delicious, but by Paris standards, it was just okay. It was normal. You know, like I could have eaten 20 more portions because it's so petite. You know, everything's fucking petite. Like, really? It's like this small? Like, hello, where are the other 12 bowls of this lamb stew that I thought I would get?
I know, everything's so small.
You know? But
listen to this. I went to this French restaurant the other day with some friends, and I was like, oh, fuck, I really couldn't afford to go anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my friend, we all were like kind of too broke. I was like, who suggested this place? None of us can afford to eat here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so my friend ordered a bowl of soup. Like, we're all getting like cheap shit. And she gets, but they bring over the bread and butter. And the butter was like in this little teeny tiny bowl. And I was like, oh my God, is that the soup? Because you know, French food's so small. It was like, no, you asshole, you know? But then when he brought over the soup, it was only like 1 ounce bigger. So I was like, yeah, who's the asshole?
The thing about this restaurant that I went to, this Indian restaurant, was the ambiance was so amazing because it was just so like everything was just, it was totally crowded, like typical French restaurant. Like everybody's kind of stuck together like sardines. And there's no room, there's barely room for the waiter to serve these like 25 people or whoever. But it was just such a beautiful interior. And they had, because it was Valentine's Day, they had put little rose petals on all the tables. And the thing is, like, L.A. has some really nice restaurants. But you know what I can't stand about L.A.? Every restaurant you go to, it's a fucking, it's a different neurosis. Like, that's why I love the Chloe videos, because she always gets into, like, the weird food names. Like, every restaurant in L.A., has to have something that no other restaurant has. Like, they invent names of shit. Like, why can't you just have steak with fries and make it taste good? Why does everything have to be a fricasseed bouillabaisse twice Thursday with a side of, you know, bulbous lemon and a, you know, dingleberry soup? Do you know what I mean? Or is this completely not making sense?
Absolutely. No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Everything's like a foam and reduction and whatever.
Yeah. It's funny because a friend of mine, Raina, it's so weird because, like, when I first went to move... And
after this, I have to go because I'm starting to really... Like, I'm having chest pains again. I'm really having bad anxiety.
That's good. That's good. I mean, I'm glad that I'm able to torture you by making you hang on instead.
Yeah, and I'm happy for you that you had a good Valentine's Day and someone took you out, but
I'm not
no one did that for me.
Okay, but is it weird that you're getting chest pains when we're talking about Valentine's? You know what I mean?
No, it's not about that. It's because I'm nervous about all the papers I have to grade.
Okay. Well, you'll get it done. But anyway, so this is the last thing. But so, I forgot. What was the last thing? Hearts on the table, Valentine's. Come on, help me, and then we'll be done. Please help me. I really want to finish.
There's something about going out for Valentine's dinner.
Oh, my God, it was
weird. You got taken out. Something in the restaurant.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was past that.
Well, I don't know. You said I got taken out for Valentine's dinner for the first time in a long time, and then you got off track.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a food.
Come on, you can do it.
I was like, God, I licked the serving spoon. That wasn't enough.
It was gross. It was like family style and you licked the serving spoon.
It wasn't family style. It was like you each get your own, like it's an Indian thing. So you each get your dish. And my dish was like some sort of lamb delicious thing. And you know, you have a little spoon in your little beautiful dish that's, you know, and probably the size of the butter bowl you were talking about. And but I was like done and licked the spoon. Oh my God. I don't know.
That's really gross. Did the guy look horrified? Or the gal, I mean, did the gal look horrified?
No, I think she's getting used to it. I think she's getting used to it.
Oh, this might be a keeper then.
I don't know. But she's all right.
I mean, if someone's getting used to your crazy like that, that's pretty good.
She's all right. She's all right. Yeah.
I don't even, people want to set me up with people and stuff. I'm not like, oh, wah, I'm so lonely. Wah. It's not that. Like, I know I'm not ready to meet someone. Like, I want to get skinny and buffed. I'm like working out every day. Like, not because I care about outside appearance, but I want to feel better inside me. Like, I want to feel more confident and grounded in who I am and what I'm doing. Like, of course, if my soulmate came along, I would be like, hello, nice to meet you. I wouldn't be like, fuck you, I'm doing this other shit. But
I get it.
Yeah, thanks.
I get it. I'm with you on that. If you don't feel good about yourself, nobody else is going to.
I'm not going to bring in any good. That's right.
Yeah.
So, even though I'm very...
Rules like that are stupid, though, at the same time. Sometimes, like, I just can't say stuff like that and it doesn't make sense. But I do agree with what you're saying, though.
I agree in the sense that, like I said, if I met someone, I was like, whoa, this is, like, my person. This is my soulmate. Yeah. I'm not going to push them away and be like, no, I'm not ready. Like, if life sweeps you off your feet, you dance.
Like, oh
you
my
know?
God, you're so... Yeah, like, let me go weigh myself, and then I'll get back to you. Let me see if I weigh, you know. Nope, sorry, I need to lose another 2 pounds. Bye. Sorry, love of my life. What
exactly. That's not going to happen. But my point is that, like, I'm not on the prowl. Like, I need to find someone to fulfill this need inside me. It's not like that.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know what I'm doing, and if I start to think about it, it's giving me anxiety, so I'm trying not to think about it right now.
I'm still trying to remember what I was going to say right before you started talking about your chest pains, and I forgot, which sucks. Oh, well, I guess I'll never know. Probably remember the second I hang up the dang phone. Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, there's good times and there's shitty times and there's really shitty times. And then there's even shittier times than that. And got to just get through it all.
I'm doing fine. Everything's great in my life right now.
No, I know that. I was referring to myself. Because, you know, it was so shitty for me for so long here. And I feel like it was shitty up until just a couple of weeks ago. And all of a sudden, it's not so shitty anymore. And then I start to worry, like, maybe there's something wrong. You know, it doesn't make any fucking sense, right?
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Of course, of course. It's very Jewish.
Is it? Yeah.
Well, why don't you just try to enjoy it?
How? I don't know how.
I don't either.
My uncle said to me once on a camping trip, he's older than me, he's a doctor, so he's smart. He said, Madge, because that's my name. Madge, do you think Jewish people can ever be happy? And I said, no.
You were right.
No, I don't think I'm right at all, actually. I don't think
I'm kidding.
Oh. Oh, oops. Well, Rachel, just, you know, I think it sounds like you're on an upswing, though. It does.
No, yeah, everything's good. I just, I have a lot of work to accomplish today, and, like, the sun is down. But I'm glad we stopped to record this podcast where you wanted me to join in talking shit about your sister, and I'm sorry I didn't really fulfill that.
Now, listen, look at it this way. I'm 9 hours ahead of you, and it's still the same day, basically, even though it's not.
And no, you're right. Yeah. It would have made for a funnier show if I would have been, like, on a bashing session with you. But I just, I'm full of love.
No, the point, my point has nothing to do with that. My point is that I'm 9 hours later than you, and it's still today. You could be up for nine.
I got it.
You could be, get a lot done in 9 hours, and it'll still be today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. I have to go to bed by 10, but 4 hours is still a lot of time.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah.
And a shitload of time.
And turn off the internet.
Well, I have to do my online teaching. I need internet, but as long as I just use it for that and not other shit, I'll be good. I've got something going on. I don't know if it is latent Valentine's shit. I'm not really processing it, but something is really triggering me, and I'm feeling really freaked out. And maybe I'm like, maybe you're actually right, and like, I'm not even supposed to do this teacher training. Like, I'm not really sure what's going on right now with me. So I'm just trying to be present with it.
If you're exercising as much as it sounds like you're doing boot camp, that shit will do what exactly? That'll have a physiological reaction exactly what you're having. That happens to me too. When I go into
I start to feel better when I work out. I feel
great.
Yeah,
but you get, there's also, okay, but I feel great too, but also I often get like so much, like my body gets into this mode where it just starts producing so much adrenaline that I can't sleep as much, and I just get really wired, kind of. It sounds like the same thing that happens to me, that's all.
That sounds actually awesome, because if I was wired, I'd have some motivation to accomplish the things I need to do. But
So you're not wired?
I do think you might. No, I have like anxiety, but I'm like paralyzed and exhausted. But it's okay. It's going to be cool. Like, I'm doing all good things. Good things are happening. There's a lot of good in my life right now. I just feel like I don't want to clean. And it's like, I just have to. Well, that's all.
There's deep breathing.
It's really simple.
There's deep breathing and there's Xanax.
I already did that one, so I'll do the deep breathing.
There you go. All right, Rachel. Well, I'll hopefully post this someday before we both die.
Well, listen, I love you. I know it's hard for you to hear that word.
Yeah.
But I'm really glad we got to talk today. I think about every Valentine's Day. And I appreciate your Tourette's, which is similar to my Tourette's. To just, like, announce the shit that's real in life. Mm-hmm. And I love you. I think you're great. I embrace you.
Oh, thanks.
And I hope you're, like, really doing okay, because it's a fucking heavy day.
Yeah. No, I'm
fine. You sound like you're doing okay. You went on a fucking date. That's a lot but more than I did. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, today's all
right. Right?
Today's good. Yeah.
Well, just know that my heart is with you, you know?
Yeah, I've been fine. This is the first year that I think I've been okay, you know, for this.
Mm-hmm. It's heavy, man. It's fucking heavy.
Really, it's been fine. Like, for the first time, like, it's been fine.
That's great.
So, yeah. Don't know why. Don't really care. But, yeah.
Who cares? Yeah, don't question that shit. Just be grateful.
All right.
All right, well, listen, I hope you're going to bed now because it is late there. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, sweet dreams.
You too. Thanks.
No, thank you. I'm glad we got to talk today.
Me too.
Okay, more soon. Sweet dreams. And if you need me, call me. I'll just be here freaking out.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hang up.
I'm trying to. Why haven't you hung up?
Why haven't you hung up?
Because I had to press Alt Tab and, you know, I got to stop the...
I just wanted to see what happened when after the phone call ended.
What are we dating? This is like retarded, like high school shit.
No, well, no. Maybe you are my Valentine, what, Matt.
Wasn't it that Hitler thing? Did you post that Hitler thing where it was like, nine, you hang up first?
Yeah, so good. I don't know.
who was he hitting? Who was he talking to? I don't remember.
No, it just was him on the phone. I didn't say who he was talking to. Just the thought of him saying that. It's so good.
Okay.
Nine, you hang up fast.
Okay.
You're my Valentine badge. Even though you got taken out for India dinner, and I'm not getting taken out.
Okay. Bye.
Was it kosher? Did you eat some Raita yogurt sauce on it?
It was lamb.
But did you eat dairy?
I'm sure
you did if it's Indian food. It was cooked in butter.
I had cardamom tea with...
Oh, my God. That sounds so good to be eating Indian food in Paris. And it was so fucking good.
Yeah, but...
Be honest.
Indian food in Paris is the best Indian food I've ever had. There is one place that's near the yoga studio I go to, and they have a lunch plate. I can't believe we're still talking. We hung up already. It's like life after death.
I know.
You're Jessica Lange, and I'm lesbian.
The audience is going to feel like they wish you were dead.
So it's like $6.95, and I always get the vegetarian plate. And it's like one of those little, it looks like, you know, how like some Indian restaurants have those school lunch plates. They're like silver with the little compartments. And oh, my God. But the thing is, it's just spiced so perfectly. Like no other Indian restaurant I've ever been to. It's just spiced.
When you eat there, do they put, you know how in New York, they don't do this in L.A., but in New York, they put out that little thing of like, the mint, cilantro sauce, and the tamarind, and then the just chopped onions and the red shit.
Yeah, we had that.
Oh, fuck. That is the best shit ever. All three of them are like my favorite, and they don't put them out in L.A.
L.A.'s just dumb. They're probably too fat.
L.A. has some good food in certain realms. We have really good food.
I've had some great food there, but... Why don't they do it in L.A.? You know, it's kind of like the Chinese restaurants on the East Coast. You know how the Chinese restaurants on the East Coast give you those crunchies, the wonton crunchies? You never get them in the Midwest, never. I don't know if they get
them. The noodles, you mean. Do you mean the wontons or the noodles?
The crunchies that you get, like they're just on the table, like before you even eat.
But are they wontons or are they skinny noodles that are crunchy?
They're skinny noodles that are crunchy, but they're not skinny.
Those aren't wontons, but I know what you're talking about. And you know who else loves those? My mother.
Yeah, because she's from New York.
Yeah, fried noodles.
Yeah, they don't...
And then they'll put out some sweet and sour sauce with them.
Yeah, but they don't... Well, the sweet and sour sauce is definitely only East Coast. Like, I've seen some restaurants, like in Miami, that will do the crunchies, but the duck sauce, I've only seen on the East Coast. Well, Florida is the East Coast, though. I can't. Why are we still? You're
the
one to do it.
Egg rolls on the East Coast are way better than anywhere else. Yeah. And dumplings. If you get veggie dumplings in New York, they're like a pound each. They're like the size of fucking like what's it called? What's it called? Fuck, like not pizza, but it's folded over. Like
cunt
what's
juice?
It called?
Cunt juice pie.
No, come on. I can't believe I can't think of this word right now.
Why are you still
I'm really having a nervous breakdown.
You're not even on the phone with me anymore. You're...
No, come on, like a pizza that's folded in half and cooked.
A vagina. I seriously don't know what you're talking about. A pizza that's folded in your half and cooked in a Chinese restaurant?
No, it's in an Italian restaurant.
Oh, a calzone?
Calzone. Like the veggie dumplings in Chinese restaurants in New York are green. Remember they put green shit in the dough? In the wonton wrapper?
No.
And then they fucking boil them, and they're like seriously as big as a calzone, almost like they can only fit two in a giant Chinese food box. And they're like the best dumplings ever. Nothing even comes close.
No, I know something that comes close. Actually, there's this right here near my house here. There's a Colombian restaurant that I went to for the first time. It's a little hole in the wall. But have you ever had Colombian food? Do you know much about it or no?
I've had it like once or twice, but I wouldn't say I know much about it.
Well,
at all.
Well, anyway, you know what a tamale is. Well, they have tamales in Colombia too, and they're yummy, and they often have like, you know, chicken or whatever, all kinds of stuff. Well, I ordered a bandeja paisa, which is amazing, which has extremely non-kosher chucharron in it, which is this pig thing.
It's like double fries.
It's just fucking awesome. But my friend ordered the tamale. Okay, now, you know what a large dinner plate is? Bigger than a vagina. Not like a Judy Chicago dinner plate vagina. Like a bigger than a dinner plate. You know, like an oval plate that's huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, served on that was a single open-faced tamale that was about two open-faced and about 2 inches thick of rice, potatoes, yuca, plantain, and the most deliciously fresh seasoned chicken you could imagine, like Colombian food cooked with a French sort of, you know, the sensibility to just season and let everything cook properly for the right length of time and all that. And it was so fucking good. Oh, my God.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, my God. So good. And we're still on the phone.
It sounds fucking incredible.
So good. Bandeja paisa was what I got, which is, I think it like means huge country or something. Yeah.
Okay. I should go. I feel like I'm going to start openly weeping.
We said goodbye. I mean, this is over.
I know. Listen, it's because I love talking to you. It's great to talk to you. We'll talk more soon.
I love talking to you, too, but that's not what this is about. What this is about is you procrastinating, and you don't want to hang up because then you'll have to do stuff. And I don't want to hang up because, well, I'm an idiot. I really have no reason.
Me neither.
Yeah.
You also are really compelling and interesting to me. I enjoy talking to you, so, you know.
Compelling.
Yeah.
You know why I don't want to hang up? I'll tell you, you always get, for some reason, even though you don't seem to beg them from me, you seem to get my deepest, darkest secrets.
I'm a witch, in case you haven't noticed.
Like,
you treat me like I'm dumb, but deep down, shit's happening.
Like the tortellini on the toilet. Well, guess what? You know what I'm scared of hanging up? Because I don't have anything to eat. You know what's going to happen when I hang up this? What? Are you guessing what's going to happen? What are you foreshadowing?
No, if what you're saying is hilarious.
What's going to happen, Rachel, is I'm going to hang up this computer internet business. You know, escape, make sure everything's saved properly. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the kitchen. Even though I know there's nothing in there, not even a single container of yogurt in the fridge, I'm going to open it with the idea that maybe I forgot that there's a pint of, you know, ice cream in there. Right.
I do that too. Right? Like I would ever forget and not binge it all down immediately.
But that's not the scary part that I'm divulging. The sad, pathetic part of me that you're getting out of me. Oh my God, it's 3:09. The scary, sad thing is that what's going to happen is I'm going to end up eating sugar cubes.
That's really bad.
Bad. Rachel, you know what else I'm going to probably do? Because
what?
I do have a pint of milk. What I'll probably do is crush the sugar cubes and
God, I'm going to be sick.
And mix them in the milk, which is delicious. It's like almost like ice cream.
Oh my God.
You don't do that?
I can't believe you just went through telling me, like, people eat crazy and they should just eat what they want. You are a living example of why you should not do that.
But listen, I didn't have a diet doctor telling me to do it. You don't see Dr. Oz telling people to fucking crush up sugar cubes. You know what? He probably would. If he thought of it first, he would probably tell people to put some Sweet and Low in milk and drink it and tell them it's fucking ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty weird. He was like, I never thought I'd be recommending this, but eat some fat-free Cool Whip, have as much as you want. I'm like, yeah, that's really good for you.
Yeah. What's weird is that I went to this person's house. Never mind. Yeah. And
like, after dinner?
I went to this person's house, and like, 1 minute the whipped cream was there, and then like, 2 minutes later, like, I'd leave and come back, and it was, like, Bewitched or something. The whipped cream was gone. The whole container. Like, 10 minutes later. Like, it was, like...
That's weird.
It's, like, secret. It's, like, not only... There's some, like, secret thing, like, you can only eat the whipped cream when you're alone or something.
Yeah, that's really good, healthy way to not become a fucked-up binger.
Yeah, especially if you inhale the nitrous oxide afterwards and get high. You know?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you might as well.
Yeah, for as much good as it's doing, yeah. Why don't you just kill yourself? Wait till you see the white
light. I'm going to kill myself now because now it's after 6 p.m.
Hello, it's after 3 a.m. here. What the fuck are you talking about?
I know, but I've completely fucked up because my hard drive crashed and I really need to catch up on my teaching and clean up. Like, I really am entering a part of my life tomorrow. I really fucked up.
So say goodbye.
And I know I'm being an idiot because I keep saying it and then I keep talking, but so I'm really going to go now. And I take all the blame for all of this.
Nine, you hang up first then. Go ahead. Bye.
Nine, you go first.
Nine.
It's the best. I want to picture Anne Frank on the other line. On nine, you go.
That would be a good one, actually.
Okay. I love you.
You
call
too.
Me if you need me.
All right. Bye.
Seriously, I'm here, okay? Bye.
Bye.
When I lie down beside you,
lie down beside you,
your fingertips, whisper to me,
whisper to me,
secrets that you don't even know you know. Your touch belies your desire, like live wire, sparks fly. When I lie down beside you, and Lord knows I am yours. Spread me open, unfold me like Ouija. Without speaking, I will convey supernatural communications like clandestine alphabet, beating beneath my chest like this way means yes. Like never having to second guess, like prophetic text made manifest, like rapture, like crackles when I lie down beside you. Press against me, I am strong enough to receive the message you're delivering. Believe in the taste of my devotional, notice the way I melt for you. Let every tear be dripping elixir, let your sweet exhalations fill me. Let there be laying of your hands on my body. Memorize my topography, listen to the whisper of my history. I am physical science when I lie down beside you. Play archaeologist to my landscape. There are verbs needing to be unearthed. Truths traveling circuitous routes through my veins. I hold all of your answers rattling in my wrist. And revelation with bliss remixed in the glistening on my lips. And match disclosure chance for chance with the dancing in my hips. I can uncurl my defenses if you let me. Lay the manuscript of your meaning at your feet. Discern your direction with the cleft of intimate wish held out before me. I am your diviner when I lie down beside you. I am your trail of astral projected breadcrumbs, preternatural cartographer, spirit guide in the flesh. Unwind my DNA and view the blueprints of my destiny, and then rest with me.
Rest with me,
breathless but easy. Set your cares in the nautilus of my ear. There they will mingle with the whisper of eternal rolling ocean. I want to hear. I will hide them like sunken treasure, and they will be there within, whether you ever retrieve them. Waves crash bright when I lie down beside you. You riptide into me. Let me love you hand to mouth, cheek to cheek, speaking tongues against my skin. You are delicious beyond recognition. I give in to this precious potential like constellations weep in appreciation of our creation, like spheres wax harmonic, like everything spinning in unison, like we are more than our human machinations or molecular combinations. We are mysteries constantly unriddling. I am particular night sky when I lie down beside you. So take me.
Take me.
And make me your astrology. Plot your path by my best star. I offer it like open palm, like conviction, like undeniable truth, like specific blessing, like honest, like you inside me, like lightning striking twice every single time. So take me like I am meteorology. Take me like metaphysics. Take me like poetry. Take me like I am. I am,
I am,
I am,
I am,
I am,
I am,
when I lie down beside you.
There is no limbo.